Exodus chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, or at least the first part of 15. Exodus chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. In the previous discourse, I spoke of Moses presenting himself to Israel. Evidently, he had felt the call of God, that God had moved him, that he, Moses, was now to be the leader of Israel. And he presents himself to Israel, and now we have their reaction. Whether there was any trace in Moses of that I'm an Egyptian prince and I'm a natural leader, I don't get that impression. But if there was, then perhaps God has to knock it out of him using this means. He certainly has to knock it out of him. But whatever the cause of it, God is leading Moses in the next step of his career. And what happens here is in fact a picture, a glimpse of what he will suffer again and again and again at the hands of Israel. And it is good for a young man to bear the yoke in his youth, as the Bible tells us. Moses is not particularly a young man now, but he's certainly not old. He's in his prime. But before he starts on this great mission of leading Israel in the next step of covenant history, he has to learn that it's not all going to go hunky-dory and smooth all the way. In verse 13, Moses tries to interfere in a helpful way, dealing with two Israelites, two Hebrew men who were fighting. And he questions the man in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" And then verse 14, the man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." That's verse 14. Let me deal with that before I get to verse 15. Israel, at least in this one man, but it's typical of what will happen, Israel rejects Moses. It's only a very small sample, but he certainly is rejected. And he meets bitter opposition from his own people. It's quite clear, time and again we shall see it in the history that follows. They oppress him. They oppose him. They do not welcome him. They warp his actions. They make accusations against him. They do not realize that he is their great deliverer. And this makes Moses afraid, verse 14. Then Moses was afraid, and he thought, "What I did must have become known." Even what he was doing in the previous days, he looked both ways, glancing about him. He was a nervous man. He wasn't a chest tapper. He wasn't a big head. He wasn't coming with brash confidence. As I say, I don't get any evidence that, I'm an Egyptian prince. But whatever's going on here, he's now brought to be afraid. And then things that have gone bad go worse still. Verse 15, it's not only Israel that is against Moses. When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. This is the great leader of Israel. He has to run away to Midian. 40 years he's going to spend now in the wilderness. It has been said that Moses spent 40 years thinking he was a somebody, 40 years finding out he was a nobody, and then 40 years finding out what God can do with a nobody. Well, what a strange course is this. This setback was an abiding affliction to Moses. He never really got over this. You see, in chapter 4, verse 1, this is how he's going to react to God. They won't believe me. They'll reject me. You see, he could have said, I've had a taste of this already, when God calls him again to the work and points him to the task. Moses is afraid. And it was an abiding affliction to him. Even so, he did not say, a plague on your houses. He could do nothing for the moment. But I don't think this original call ever left him. Of course, he's got to come to the burning bush, and so on, 40 years down the road. But at this event now, only a tiny event, a very small sample, but it casts long shadows in Moses' life. The Egyptians are after him, but even Israel rejects him. It is the pattern of his life. Brother, sister, what can we learn from this? We do not judge God. We do not judge his promise. We do not judge his word by providences. Of course, Moses is living in the time before the word of God is written. But we in our day can take the principles here in the new covenant. We have the word of God, the scriptures. We have the inward moving of God's spirit to direct us. But the word and the spirit's moving in the word come together with providences. And providences can often go against promises. Events can cross the scriptures. And we must go on by faith. We must go on by the Spirit leading us, believing the word, and working through difficult providences. This is a teaching experience. This is a chastising experience. This is James 1. God is strengthening Moses. He's trying him. He's building muscle for him. It's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. Brother, sister, perhaps you're going through difficulties at the moment, trials. They seem to clash with the providences of God. The promises of God say one thing, but these providences you're going through seem to clash with them. Trust God's word and go on through the strangest course and the most difficult circumstance. In a moment, I'm going to read a hymn by Hart. And Joseph Hart, how strange is the course a Christian must steer. It'll probably be new to you, but it speaks upon this theme. The way of the Christian is not always straight and easy and clear. We have the word of God, but providences can make it very difficult. Moses is going to be the great leader of Israel. He's going to be the great overthrower of Egypt. But in Exodus 2, verses 14 and 15, it doesn't look like it at all. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his works in vain. How many times we have seen that in going through the scriptures. And a final word to the unbeliever, any unbeliever listening to me. I'm not trying to pull the wool over you, over your eyes with these gospel discourses. I'm speaking to you, calling you to Christ, urging you to come to him week after week, day after day. Urging you, pleading with you, counseling you, commanding you, begging you to look to the Lord, to call upon his name, to trust Christ and be saved. But I'm never promising to you that once you come to Christ, that will be the end of all conflict and difficulty in the mind. You can see it in the life of Moses. So I'm not making false promises to you. It's not a bed of roses I'm calling you to. It's a conflict. But I'm calling you to conflict now in the name of the Lord Jesus and to everlasting life, everlasting joy to come. Well, that's what I see here. strange providences, strange circumstances. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense. And now for that hymn by Joseph Hart. How strange is the course that a Christian must steer. How perplexed is the path he must tread. The hope of his happiness rises from fear, and his life he receives from the dead. His fairest pretensions must wholly be waived, and his best resolutions be crossed. Nor can he expect to be perfectly saved till he finds himself utterly lost. When all this is done and his heart is assured of the total remission of sins, when pardon is signed and his peace is procured, from that moment his conflict begins. I think Moses experienced something like that. And brother and sister, so do we. So let us walk by faith and not by sight.